Hello and welcome. This is episode 145 of the Veg Grower Podcast. I'm Richard, and today is the 4th of December 2017. Coming up today, I've got a little bit of housekeeping just to go through, and I'm just adding a bit of an explanation of what this podcast is all about. Then I have the usual diary, where I'll talk about what's happened in this last week on the plots. Then I've got a little chat about the visit I made last week to Team Pollinate. But with all that to get through, let's get on with the show. So last week I sent an email to Paul from An Hour in the Garden podcast. I was actually just emailing a few words of encouragement, like I quite often do when I find podcasts on our particular subject. And I'd only just recently found his podcast, and I'm really enjoying it. Well, he very, very kindly mentioned me on his show, of which I'm really, really grateful for. So thank you very much for that, Paul. And if any listeners do want to listen to his podcast, please do go check him out. Very informative and interesting podcast. I think you'll find him on iTunes and Spreaker. Spreaker, however you say it. They're what I know he's on. There may be more, but check him out. It's An Hour in the Garden. But as soon as he gave me a mention, and there may be a few new listeners, I thought I'd better give a quick run through of what the Veg Grower podcast is all about. Now, as I said in the intro, my name's Richard, and I love growing my own food. I've grown vegetables for a long time, and it's been a great passion of mine. Just over 4 years ago, I started searching for podcasts on grown food that were UK-based. And to be honest, there really wasn't any. So I decided I'll form my own, sharing tales of my tiny garden and allotment where my aim was to grow all the fruit and vegetables that we could eat. I also believe that many of our problems can be alleviated by growing their own, so I was hoping they would encourage more people to grow their own food. And I have heard back from listeners that have been encouraged to grow their own food with thanks to this podcast, and I'm always amazed and so pleased to hear that. I also built a website to go with the podcasts where I share blogs, posts, YouTube videos, recipes, all made to accompany the podcast. I also felt the website should be kind of a community, so I added forums and I created it to be a kind of login site, kind of like the Facebook of gardening, I guess, or growing your own food, I should say. Over the last few years, I've actually moved into a bigger house with a much bigger garden. And I also moved allotments, again, gaining more space. And this has helped me to grow more food and achieve my aim of being more self-sufficient in fruit and vegetables. With a bigger garden, I started keeping chickens, something that I always wanted to do. And they've actually proven to be a really great addition in my garden. We are now completely self-sufficient in eggs, and the hens I count as little workers in my garden. However, recently I have obtained quail and running a quail project to see how quail would work in a garden. As for some garden, chickens really are not an option, but I figured quail might be an option. And this is kind of a level that I go to encourage people to grow their own food. I also like to share stories from others who grow their own food, and I will always answer any questions that I receive. Anyone has any suggestions, wants to be on the show or anything like that, please get in touch. You can go to the website, theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk, leave a comment in the blog posts, especially relating to the podcasts, or there's a contact form that you can easily find up there. Well, there is the housekeeping I just wanted to take care of. I know some of you listeners have been listening for a while and it probably is a bit boring, but There's always new listeners. I think it's going to be good to encourage or introduce myself again. So let's talk about what's happened this last week on the plots. After work last week in the evenings, I haven't been able to do much outside, but I did release a couple of blog posts. One post was just how I grew my 2-stone pumpkin earlier this year, and I was really pleased with that pumpkin and thought I would share it. Although 2-stone is not going to break any records, I was pleased with it, and it's provided us with a great many meals. I also released a blog post, which is part of a series of posts I am planning to share with you all. And that post was on how much money I spent on the plots in November, or growing my own, I should say. Now, my plan here is each month to share how much money I spent on various items and what I spent it on. I plan to do this every month with the post coming out on the first of each month. And at the end of 2018, I will total up how much I've spent throughout 2018. I think that will actually be quite an interesting project. And it was quite eye-opening how much money I spent in November. Saturday, I spent the day at home and tended to the greenhouse at first, just kind of watering and checking over everything. Everything in there seems to be growing well, but very slow, but that's expected at this time of year. I then cleaned out the quail cage, which took 5 minutes. Simply just cleared out the straw, the wood chips and the straw, replenished with flesh. Replenished with fresh wood shavings and straw. And I then swept the sand to remove all the poop. All this waste has gone into the compost bin just to rot down. My next job was to extend the chicken coop. Now, last year, when chickens were not allowed outside due to DEFRA rules with avian bird flu, I added an extension to the run to give them a bit more space. But I kind of made it modular in design so that I could add it when I needed it and take it apart when I wanted to grow stuff in that area. The run without the extension is still a fairly big space. But normally when I get home from work, I like to open it up and let the chickens run around and have even more space in the veg plot. Now, they remain in the run when I'm at work because we do have cats and we do have foxes in the area. And I can't let the hens roam around because they will be killed. I have seen a cat go for my chickens. If I hadn't run out there on a couple of occasions, I would have lost them. But as I said, the run itself is quite large and it is there for lair protection. As it's been dark when I've got home from work, they haven't had a chance to get out, and I really don't like that. So I've added the extension to give them more space. But also, while I've got this space, they're actually digging over the soil, clearing out the weeds and the weed seeds. So they're working for me, which is why I like to think of my chickens as garden workers. Now, with this extension, what I like about how I designed and built it is that I can always add more extensions on if I build more. Which is plans for the future and something that I do like with this. Sunday, I headed down the allotment and I've just started by filling up the bed that is where I will be planting autumn raspberries. Now, this bed is now completely filled up with well-rotted horse manure and compost. So it is now complete. All I need now is for my bare root plants to arrive and I will get them planted straight away. After that, I removed more of the strawberry plants that I mentioned last week. There are so many of these plants growing here and they are in really good condition. They're just in the wrong place. I can't bear to throw away good plants, so I'm putting these up with the aim of doing something with them in the future. I then harvested a few sprouts, potatoes, kale and chard, and I went to harvest my Jerusalem artichokes. I've noticed this year that the foliage has grown really, really well on the artichokes, so I was expecting good results under the soil, but you can never be sure until you actually dig it up and see. However, I was right, I had a decent amount under the ground. I only needed a handful of artichokes, so I only really harvested from a very, very small section, and it took me a couple of minutes to get a handful of artichokes. So if this tiny little section of that bed is that good, I can imagine the rest is going to be just as good. But because artichokes aren't great for storage, I only really harvest them when I need them. So I leave them in the bed until needed, but with what I've seen so far, I'm really, really pleased. After that, I tackled lots of the weeding. Although weeds aren't really growing at this time of year, I want to get on top of it while I can, so I spent a good couple of hours weeding. And really, that is a diary up to date. Now, some of you may remember a few weeks ago I mentioned Team Pollinate and the online questionnaire. Well, last Monday they had an event on in Brighton where they were discussing the first leg of their results. And I have to say, it was a really enjoyable evening and really interesting. It started with Beth, a scientist from the University of Sussex, giving a talk about what they are aiming to do, which is basically get an idea of how much food is grown in urban agriculture around the world, as nobody really has an idea of how much is grown. They are also trying to find out about the types and quantity of pollinators that are found in order to work out how much we kind of owe to these pollinators. After all, if it wasn't for pollinators, we wouldn't have many fruits that rely on these. Beth and her team are also working with a university in Calcutta, as well as being funded to study pollinator population in food production and pesticide use in cities. It was interesting. A few things that I learned was that 75% of crop diversity has been lost since the 90s, and 50% of the world's population lives in urban areas. She moved on to the first set of results. And these were from volunteers who have allotments in Brighton, which was where my first allotment was. And these volunteers have recorded criteria every couple of weeks. A few were visited by the Team Pollinate in order to have some kind of quality control. But these volunteers were recording what vegetables were in flower, what pollinators were seen, and in what quantities. And some of them also recorded how much food was being harvested. Now, the results will be on the website by Christmas, and as much as I tried to note everything down, it was tricky to kind of keep up with note taking and pay attention. But as we would expect, pollinators increased as crops were in flower, and blackberries particularly attracted lots of pollinators. Now, the value of the yields was lower than I expected. I think the average was £836 for the year. But these were lower than I expected because of the fact that these are based on pollinated crops. And things like spinach or brassicas, things that are vegetables and don't rely on pollinators, they didn't get included. So I think the figure would be a lot higher if we included things like that. She then went on to discuss plans for the future, as this is an ongoing study, and things like getting an app running and making recording easier. We were then split into three groups and discussed various aspects of the research. The first subject my group was tackled was pest control. And as expected, the number one pest was slugs and snails. Now, most in my group and in fact, throughout all the groups, from what I can see, the results were using organic pellets to tackle slugs and snails. But I kind of mentioned how effective I have found chickens are at pest control, and this sparked a lot of interest in my group. Partly because chickens are not allowed in Brighton allotments. And if anybody knows anything about Brighton, it's a very green city. It's run by the Green Party, which is kind of a demonstration of how the people in this city think. Yet chickens are not allowed in allotments, and that meant the majority of allotmenteers are resorting to pellets to control slugs and snails, and obviously other pesticide uses that aren't very green. Some do encourage, of course, other birds and stuff to come along. But I spoke to some people after, actually, and they were going to try and get chickens allowed on plots purely because of how good I've said they have been. We were then asked about the questions being asked by Team Pollinate and what we thought about them and how to improve the future. And personally, I really liked the idea of what they are trying to discover. Not just the pollinators. I think the pollinators are very, very important, and we do rely on them a hell of a lot more than what we realise. But also about how much food is being grown by us. Although something that came up was recording data is quite tricky, and I can vouch for that because I try and record everything to share on the podcasts. But there's always things I miss or run out of time to kind of log, so it is a kind of a tricky thing to get right. The next focus group was the experience of being on a Team Pollinate researcher, of which I kind of stepped back from because I haven't been involved in this part of it. Because I don't garden Brighton, I kind of stood back and just kind of listened. And a lot of people were just saying it's kind of recording things that got tricky. I think they started out with 83 volunteers, and by the end of it, they had 6 volunteers on recording the yields. And I think it is quite a tricky thing to log and research. However, if I was still in Brighton, I would absolutely be taking part. And if anybody is in Brighton, please do get in touch and take part. Overall, I was actually really impressed with this event. I wasn't expecting a huge amount from them, but I came away feeling really engaged and really fired up. So I'm going to continue to follow the work and participate in the research where I can. And I want to urge everyone out there to not only check out their website, of which we can be found at teampollinate.co.uk, and I'll add links to the blog post. But I also urge everyone to try and take note of the items that I've mentioned in this talk and see if us here at the Veg Grower Podcast can kind of get our own records going as well that we can share and use this to get more people to grow their own food. And the research that is being done here is being done in Brighton. But there is an online questionnaire open across the country where you can win £50 worth of gardening vouchers. And again, that can be found on the Team Pollinate web search. So please do check that out. And I'm hoping I could try and get somebody from Team Pollinate on the show one day to try and discuss this further, because I really am fired up and enthused with what I came out of there for, and I haven't really done it justice with how good it was. Anyway, that is it for this week. I'm going to wrap up now and head on. Thank you very much for listening. Really do appreciate it. And if you're a new member, please get in touch. Tell me what you want to hear, and we'll tailor the podcasts around what people want to hear while maintaining the whole it's what I do, that I tend to do. I don't, going back to the new listeners, I don't tell people what to do, I tell people what I do. That's my attitude. So with that, thank you very much, and I will see you all again next. next time.